Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife. Trisida Bendigo died tonight, and I'm the only person who knows why. He overheard a telephone conversation between me and Angela Tennant, and he flew into such a rage that his heart gave out. I didn't call his doctor till the very last minute. I couldn't give myself away. Besides, if I had called the doctor immediately, it probably wouldn't have made any difference. It's just the same, I'm in a very devil of a position. McIndoe, that's the doctor, seems to be suspicious about something. He says he doesn't know if he should sign the death certificate. It depends on me. I'm in his car outside the Bendigo house now. And you can take it from me, there's something I see running up and down my spine.
Well, Palmer, what about it?
But I've already told you once. Inside.
Yes, tell me again.
We had a discussion upstairs. He said he was tired and asked, would I shove off?
Out of the house?
No, of course not. I was welcome to wait in the living room for Marcia.
What then?
Well, I've been pottering about for half an hour, I suppose, and then I heard him coming downstairs.
How could you hear him in his bare feet?
Oh, he was trying to say something.
And then he collapsed at the bottom of the stairs?
Yes, that's right.
He didn't fall?
No, just stumbled his way down. He collapsed at the bottom, and I lifted him onto the sofa and rang you.
How soon?
Well, immediately, of course.
I want to know two things, Farmer. What set this attack off? One.
Well, hang it all, I'm not the doctor, you are.
Did he get a phone call?
No.
You're certain?
Of course I'm certain.
Well, how do you account for the fact that the phone by his bedside was hanging on its cord, and that there was a rather ugly bruise on his left arm?
Why? I can't account for it.
People don't bruise for nothing, and it was a new one.
Well, now you mention it, it's funny, I didn't think of it before, but just before I heard the poor old chap on the stairs, there was a sort of thump. It must have been from his room. Don't you see? He felt his heart going, tried to call for me, couldn't speak, and fell as he was getting out of bed. That's when he knocked the phone off.
The only trouble is, Miss Bendigo told me he could have rung downstairs to you. His phone was connected.
Now look here, Dr. McIndoe. Isn't this getting a bit out of hand? Are you trying to say that I knocked him about or something? Because if you are, you'd better say it to my lawyer.
Now, don't get up in the air, old man. I'm only doing my duty.
That's all very well, but there's a limit. I've told you all I can. That's exactly what happened. Now, look, I've had a long day, and I still have to call on my managing director. What about saying good night?
Might be a good idea. Don't get any wrong impressions, Palmer. One has to be absolutely certain, you know.
I'm not getting any wrong impressions, but, well, I was almost as fond of the old man as his own family.
Yes, well, all right. Let's both get along. I'll be seeing you in the morning, I expect.
Yes, probably. And just so I can get some sleep tonight, are you satisfied now?
I think so. I'll sign the certificate tomorrow. Good night, Palmer.
Good night, Doctor. Sorry to bark at you just now.
Oh, that's all right, old man. By the way, you might care to know, the old chap was conscious for a minute or two just before he died.
Yes? Did he? Could he talk?
He was trying to say something about you and Marcia. Look after that girl, old man. I think her uncle was pretty happy about you too. Good night.
Well, that was the last jump. Now we head for the post and win in a canter. Wonder what it'll feel like to own Tressida Bendigo and Company. Won't be long now.
Ah, there you are, Jeff.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Stella. Been here long?
Oh, 5 or 10 minutes, darling. It's all right. What kept you?
Benny Puller and that stevedoring business.
Oh. Jeff, about last night. Did Marcia stay long?
I drove her home about 12. Why?
Jeff, last night shook me more than I care to admit.
I know. Poor old Mr. Bendigo. Shook me, too.
I mean Marcia coming straight to you. She had her aunt, and she had Harry Palmer, but she came running straight to you.
She was terribly upset, poor kid. You couldn't blame her.
I'm not blaming her, Jeff. But she's no right to turn to you now. Not for anything.
Well, maybe not, but I could scarcely tell her to clear off, not under the circumstances.
I don't want to get intense, but I can't go on like this. Really, I can't. If I can't feel some sort of security in you, Jeff, I'll have to stop seeing you altogether.
But we've never been better friends.
Friends? I could scream when you say that. And after last night, Marcia turning to you when she's really broken-hearted.
It didn't mean anything, Stella.
It meant everything. She's still fond of you. That's what it means. And when all this rotten Palmer business finally comes to light, she's going to be broken-hearted again. Jeff, for 2 pins, I'd do all I could to protect Palmer. That way I could protect myself.
I'd better buy you a drink.
I've never gone hook, line, and sinker for anyone before. I never thought I'd be so blatant about it, but I did. But, Jeff, you don't seem to realize. I lie awake at 4 in the morning thinking of you. And it's not much fun. Do you want me to get out of your way? If you do, say so and get it over. This whole business began because Marcia thought I was your office wife. And I never have been and I never will be. That's not what I want.
Listen to me, Stella. You know me pretty well, don't you?
Better than you know yourself.
It's embarrassing. I sound like Eric or Little by Little. What could be more revolting? But I'm still married. If Marcia and I were divorced tomorrow, it'd be different.
What would be different?
I detest any sort of shabbiness. I'm terribly fond of you, and I owe you more than I can ever repay.
You owe me nothing. I'd just like to feel you won't drop me cold the moment Marcia finds out what sort of a heel she's running about with and comes chasing after you.
I won't drop you, Stella.
Do you mean that?
Yes, I mean it.
Never?
I promise you.
I waited a long time to hear you say that. And now I can go on waiting. Till you're free. Will you promise me something else?
Just about anything you say, you know that.
I'll have to wait 3 years at least. And Jeff, it's a long time out of anyone's life. Don't let me wait for nothing. That's all I'm asking you.
But I thought it was understood.
You've never said it.
Well, I'm staying now. Will you marry me when we can?
Yes, please.
Says the devil looks after his own. The moment old Bendigo hands you his firm, he obligingly turns round and dies. Huh. Palmer, you're uncanny.
Not uncanny. Just good at my game. It's in the bag now.
Wasn't it almost too opportune? I mean, Marcia and Aunt Harriet buzzing off and leaving you alone with the old boy and his weak heart?
It was their idea, not mine, Angela, and I don't like your tone.
You didn't do anything to help Tressida Bendigo on his way out, did you?
He overheard our conversation on the phone. That set him off.
Was that all?
What do you take me for? Don't talk like a fool.
I wouldn't put it past you. Not for Marcia and Tressida Bendigo and company.
If you're getting any funny ideas,
I've already got them.
I rang the doctor.
You did?
Yes. So if you're trying to put me in a murky light, you're miles off the beam. You'd like a good thick stick to wave over my head, wouldn't you, Angela? Now I'm holding your diary and I'll soon be in the money.
Yes, I would.
Well, you're wasting your time. Old Bendigo died a natural death. And Dr. McIndoe signed a death certificate to say so.
I wonder. With an opportunity like last night, you'd have done anything for sixpence.
Anything I do for sixpence, you'd do for a threepenny bit.
You'd better find more than threepenny bits for me, chum. Don't forget, I can still go to Jeff Pilgrim.
You won't.
I won't unless I have to. Or perhaps I should say, I won't unless it pays.
But it doesn't pay right now, does it, Angela, dear? Well, listen, I'm off. I'll see you later in the week. And after that, it might be a good idea if we didn't see each other much at all.
Oh, don't hurry away. I've just thought of something. You know our revealing conversation on the phone? The one you say set old Bendigo's heart off last night? What time was it?
About 8:30, I suppose. Why?
And the doctor's name is Mackinder?
Look here, what are you getting at?
I was just thinking how easy it would have been for you to wait an hour or so before calling the doctor. What time did you call him, Harry, darling?
You can't make anything of that. You're whistling in the dark. I rang Mackinder the instant you hung up. Within 5 minutes, anyway. Now, you listen to me, Angela. You're talking out of
rot. Then why panic?
Panic be hanged.
Are you sure you didn't let old Bendigo almost die before ringing Mackinder?
No. I tell you, I got onto him at once. You crazy fool, I did everything I could, do you hear me? I did everything I could.
I wonder. It might be worth checking up on. I got him. That's what Palmer did. Waited as long as he could, and it was just long enough. I want my diary back, and I think I know how to get it. And then, Palmer, old boy, well, you're going from bad to worse, and soon I'll be in too deep. I think it's time I got out. Jeff's almost bound to be reasonable. And who knows? Maybe generous. Why not?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.